So important. We're reversing roles today.
No, we are. Well, thank you very much. Well, you know, after reading this little book and reading everything that they talk about in here, they go through all different kinds of things. Things for the eyes and food poisoning, cuts and wounds, nose, sore throat, tickling in the throat, digestive tract. They just go through all kinds of things in this little book. But the one statement in here that I like the best is that it says, the magic of this health-giving liquid is that its action normalizes abnormalities. So what it's doing is it's interesting because it says in here, if you, and the terminology is done quite nicely, but it says if you're too stout, then it will help you become slimmer, but if you're not stout enough, then it will help you to become so.
Talk about politically correct. What a nice book. Well, anyway, that's, in fact, the very first thing that they talk about in the book is stoutness. And what they indicate there is that it isn't a normal condition, and so apple cider vinegar tends to normalize the body and make it so it's more productive in utilizing nutrients. Now, you look at this situation, you go, wait, no, I'm too productive in utilizing nutrients. No, and that's not the case at all. If a person's overly stout, then it means that they're storing and not using.
Exactly.
And a lot of times we find that the people that are in this condition tend to lack energy, and that energy is all stored up inside. And so I think what's happening here is that the body's not getting the proper nutrients that are necessary to metabolize the nutrients and energy as it's supposed to. And so because it's not getting what it needs, it tends to store. It can't utilize, so it stores. And so the way to reverse the problem is to balance the body out and get those proper nutrients necessary so the body doesn't hold on to calories. Doesn't hold on to and convert them into fat. And so the apple cider vinegar does exactly that. Same as we talked about a few weeks ago about blackstrap molasses.
Right.
There's nothing miraculous about blackstrap molasses or apple cider vinegar, only that they tend to provide the body balance that's necessary to be able to utilize nutrients.
That's right. And the best way that this book, I mean, it's all through the book, with each condition that's listed, the best way to take this is like 1 to 2 teaspoons in a glass of water, and you just sip it with meals or between meals or whenever. Even in this section on obesity, it says if even losing inches around the waist, if you sip this particular beverage during your meals, you will lose 1 to 2 inches within 2 months. Now, that's what the book says. I have not tried it, but it's worth a try because you know that apple cider vinegar isn't going to have any detrimental effect.
Also, they talked about a woman in there that was 250 pounds,
mm-hmm.
And she lost 50 pounds within how long?
Within a year. She was just drinking it all year long, and she lost 50 pounds, but it didn't come back. All too often, we lose the weight in not very healthful ways. And then it comes back very quickly and is harder to lose again.
With really overly obese people, we find that they're not heavy eaters, they're not heavy drinkers, they don't overindulge, they're very moderate eaters, yet they keep putting it on. And I think one of the reasons they keep putting it on, we'll come back right to it again, is because the nutrients are lacking in the food that they eat.
Right.
That they're not eating the proper foods. If they eat the proper foods, the weight goes down, the body doesn't have to cling on to it, it can utilize it, the weight goes down, energy goes up, and the overall general health of the person improves.
Right.
So one of the best things we can do for overweight conditions is balance the body out, and the apple cider vinegar seems to be a balancer. We can take the blackstrap molasses to get a lot of those nutrients in, and the vital herbs, of course. We take those vital herbs, and wow, the energy that comes, and then the metabolism changes, and things improve tremendously.
Yes, they do.
The apple cider vinegar tends to put the blood back into the pH that it's supposed to be. Whether it be, if it's too acid or too alkaline, apple cider vinegar seems to change that.
And then it goes, that's right, it's very effective on the blood. And it also helps in the clotting of blood. If cases of bleeders, where they bleed all the time and their blood doesn't clot, it will help to clot the blood.
Yeah.
And if you're anticipating surgery or something, taking this several weeks beforehand will help get through surgery better and help with the recuperation afterwards.
I had somebody call me just this last week, you know, that was concerned about alfalfa because alfalfa has vitamin K in it and helps blood to be thinner, right?
Right.
And so they were concerned, you know, that because of blood clots and everything. At any rate, these natural substances work both ways, you know. So with apple cider vinegar, for example, even though it helps the blood to clot, in cases of too much clotting, like in menstruation, where there's too much flow and too much clotting, it does just the opposite.
It
reduces it.
It's magic.
See, alfalfa does the same thing. It doesn't matter which way it is. It just tends to balance things out.
You know, your dad had a favorite saying with lobelia. He said lobelia was the thinking herb because it was a catalyst for so many things. It knew which action it should be using. I think that's true with many of these products, with molasses, with apple cider vinegar. They tend to have this vibration that they know what the body's in need of, and they can just work in that direction and use that particular action to bring about the normality that's needed.
The vinegar also has been used for hemorrhages, cuts, wounds, so externally. apple cider vinegar is used for outbreaks of things like impetigo and ringworm and things like that.
Yeah, or just applying it topically.
Right. And but also they caution in the book that, you know, that's a sign that there's something wrong internally. And so taking it internally will help to normalize pHs and such in the body.
That's true. You know, and it goes on to list other areas, eyes, earaches. You know, one statement they said in here about ears in particular is that it's amusing. Well, he says it's kind of funny that orthodox doctors are oblivious to the fact that the ear is a part of the human body and not an organ detached from the physical vehicle of consciousness, is the way he puts it. And I think that's true. They just look at the ear itself and not the rest of the body. If there's a problem with the ear, we've got to do something with the ear, and that it has nothing to do with the rest of the body, which is, you know, according to our way of thinking, ridiculous, because the body is all intricately related. And so for earache or impaired hearing or problems with the eyes, the treatment is still the same. 1 to 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar in water, sipped with meals, between meals, before meals, after meals, whenever you want to take it.
Yeah. it's also been used quite effectively with sore throat. And especially with this lingering ticklish throat, you know, this tickling cough that after something's over and it just seems to linger for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Right.
Apple cider vinegar seems to work very well with that, and it's just the same thing, a couple of teaspoons and a glass of water. But here what we'd do is we'd keep it by the bedstand, and when we wake up with a coughing thing at night, we just go ahead and sip a little bit. So that seems to work very well.
And within minutes, the tickling has stopped, and you're able to go back to sleep. And it's very important that you do get your sleep. How else are you going to recuperate your energy if you don't get some sleep?
Also, speaking about throat problems, it's been used for acute laryngitis.
Yes, it has. And singers take note of this, because it says normally after the 7th dose, the treatment is not necessarily needed anymore. It says to use it every hour for 7 hours. It says by the end of the 7th hour, the sore throat the laryngitis has been eliminated. So if you're a singer and you're prone to laryngitis, you may want to try some apple cider vinegar.
Going a little bit further down in the GI tract, apple cider vinegar has been used extensively for GI tract problems, for inability to break down food properly. One of the things that's useful for is an under-acid condition in the stomach. We have already determined from past shows that ulcers are created from an under-acid condition. That there isn't enough acid in the stomach, and that allows bacteria into the stomach area to eat the mucosa off the stomach lining, and thereby allowing the hydrochloric acid the body produces naturally to destroy stomach tissue. because it can't tell the difference between the protein you're eating and the protein in your stomach. And so apple cider vinegar helps to alleviate that problem by providing more acid in the stomach and helping make it so the environment isn't conducive for bacteria to grow there. As we get further down into the GI tract, apple cider vinegar, maybe it's because of its malic acid, I don't know. The malic acid in apple cider vinegar is very, very healing. But whatever it is, apple cider vinegar tends to make it so that food doesn't putrefy in your body, that it's utilized or it's gotten rid of. And so people have been quoted as saying that once taking apple cider vinegar, flatulence stops, and that when they defecate, it actually doesn't smell bad.
Hmm. That's interesting. You know, the same thing is true when it comes to belching, heartburn, bad tastes, and hiccups. Apple cider vinegar helps with all those just the same way.
And that's just an indication that we're not breaking our food down properly, not utilizing the nutrients as we should. Apple cider vinegar has been used for food poisoning. And I don't know what it does, neutralizes, whatever, but it's been used very effectively for food poisoning. Auto-intoxication. So if a person's highly toxic, and that would be indicative of skin disorders, that apple cider vinegar is something that should be used on a daily basis until all that is cleared up.
That's right.
Also, what's nice is apple cider vinegar can be used topically on these things. One of the things that I remember reading about was poison ivy. It can be used for poison ivy and those types of maladies you get out in the wild. And we'd always used apple cider vinegar for childhood diseases, you know, where you have itchy skin, you know, chicken pox and measles and all those types of things.
That's interesting.
So used topically, apple cider vinegar seems to work very well.
That's true.
Put it in the bath water and just take an apple cider vinegar bath.
That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it also talks about hair falling out and things like that. And it says you can rinse the hair with it as well as take it orally, and that will help the hair to cease falling out and will help it to grow more quickly to replenish itself. So, you know, and it goes on and on. The fingernails, good for the fingernails, teeth, sore mouth.
I like the statement that the book made about looking at a general condition of a person. If you see a person's growing big in the middle and losing it on the top, then there's something wrong with the general condition.
I guess so.
So if we're gaining around the waist, but we're losing our hair and our fingernails and such, then we can assume that things aren't right in the body. We need to balance things out. And apple cider vinegar seems to be a real good balancer.
Right. Also goes into talking about joints. How it's now? How did your dad explain that with apple cider vinegar and the calcium deposits on the joints?
Well, it's because apple cider vinegar, maybe the malic acid in it or what? There's already been studies done showing that the malic acid in apples dissolve calcification, and so hey, that's what they use for the kidney stone thing. Is they go on an apple juice diet for 3 to 7 days, and then on that fourth or eighth day, they take copious amounts of olive oil, and it seems to pass a lot of stones.
Right.
The apple cider vinegar or the apple juice used prior to that tends to take the edges off the stones. And
just starts to dissolve them.
Yeah, starts to dissolve them, and they can pass a lot easier.
Right.
Of course, we found that things combined with the apple juice work a lot faster. Herbs like quebra pedra and hydrangea and gravel root all are very good dissolvents and will help with that particular condition.
If you're inclined to be one that likes to go out and walk the hills and forests and track down your own herbs and make pressings and stuff, and you run into some nettles, stinging nettle along the way, application of apple cider vinegar will help with that as well. Did you know that?
No.
Well, see, I read something in the book you didn't.
Well, I read it. I must have skipped right over it.
Also, eczema and dandruff. Oh, sorry.
Eczema and dandruff. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a cure-all for many things. Because it helps the body revitalize.
Do you remember the part in the book where it talked about marking the fingernails and seeing how fast they grow?
No.
It gave a certain determination of there's a standard of how long fingernails take to regrow or thumb or toenails or whatever. And I believe that's pretty well standard. If you can find it, that'd be great. But at any rate, what they do is they go ahead and they mark at the bottom of the cuticle here, the top of the cuticle, they're at the bottom of the fingernail. They put a mark on the fingernail, and then they just see how long it takes to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can shorten that time span of what's average to grow a fingernail, then the general health of the body would indicate its superiority.
That's interesting. Now, I can't find that in here right off the bat. Sorry.
Any rate, apple cider vinegar, another one of those super nutrients you find in health food stores. You know, that's the difference between health food stores and other stores, is that they tend to carry products that are very beneficial. White vinegar doesn't cut it. And the apple cider vinegar that's so processed that there's no culture left in it also isn't worth having. What you'll find in health food stores is you'll find apple cider vinegar with the culture still in it. Because, see, what apple cider vinegar is, it's a fermented product. And so, all throughout history, we've found that every race seems to come up with their fermented products. Sauerkraut, poi, kimchi, no matter what. Well, folk medicine in Vermont seems to point that this particular fermented product with apples, apple cider vinegar, has the healing effects that these other ones do too.
But you know, it's also interesting that at the end of this book it says the apple cider vinegar and honey combination, and your dad talked about that a lot in his book.
He used it a lot.
He did. True. And so in addition to a couple of teaspoons of apple cider vinegar in some water, then you can also add a couple of teaspoons of honey. And it goes on to say that honey is high in vitamin D. It contains vitamin B1, vitamin B2, vitamin C, B2 complex. Goes on, has many minerals in it, copper and chlorine and manganese and sulfur and silica, potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, iron. There's a lot of things that honey contains also. And to combine these two superfoods together, I mean, you just can't go wrong.
And they're all in their natural state.
They're all in their natural state with the enzymes still in. You do have to be careful that you get your pure raw honey, though, in order to have a good superfood.
Right. Honey tends to be antibacterial. You can use it on wounds and things because it's antibacterial. However, the honey you find in most stores isn't. And you're only going to compound the problem putting that type of honey on a wound.
That's right.
And trying to use it for an antibacterial agent.
That's
it
right.
Doesn't work at all. So raw, unfiltered, uncooked honey is what we want to use.
In combination with apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And then, you know, and sometimes if people are having a hard time with apple cider vinegar, then add a little honey to it and it makes it more palatable. Also good for hay fever, heart troubles, colitis, all kinds of, I mean, this book is just full of it. Stopping smoking, talks about one guy that was an alcoholic. And he went on this regimen, and he had no desire for alcohol. I've never been in that situation. I don't know if it works. I haven't tried it, but it certainly wouldn't hurt you to try.
Well, I guess we're done with apple cider vinegar, so what we'd like to do is go ahead and take calls.
Good idea. The phone number is 224-1400. If you're in Salt Lake and can hear us, the phone number is 570-1400. And the time is now yours to open up the phone lines and let us know what's happening. And until you do, we'll pick another subject to talk about.
And from Salt Lake, that is a toll-free call.
That's right. It's our dime, not yours. So if you have to hold, don't worry about paying for it. But
we ought to mention the sponsor and then get to the phone calls.
Oh, okay. The sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State and Orem and Mother Nature's Market, and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Stanley Houston, and took you.
You need to turn your radio down.
Oh, that's what I'm on. I can't figure out why. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I just went to the doctor. I twist my knee, and I went to the doctor, and he x-rayed it, and I've lost half of my cartridge on my left knee. So I've been taking this BM and C ointment from Dr. Christopher. I'm taking a BF and C pill. I take your cayenne pepper. I take your apple cider vinegar. And I take a live pat herb that goes with it, and a ARTH from another outfit.
I believe that one's from the Great Salt Lake Company, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you could comment on that, on if that would...
Well, why don't you comment? Has anything happened?
Well, I've just been on it for about a little over a week, and it seems like it isn't aching as much, but I just wonder how long it would take before I could go have it x-rayed again.
Well, you know, everyone's a little different, and it depends on what's happening in the body. All we can do is make the environment of the body correct, and depending on how you've lived your life prior to this accident happening is going to determine how long it takes. Things that we can do to speed up the process would be alternating hot and cold packs on the area, switching to a totally natural diet where we wouldn't take sugar, white flour,
any processed foods,
dairy products into our system.
We're on that. We've been on that for quite a while. We walk every day, and we don't eat any white sugar, and we're on wheat and everything. So.
Well, in a case like that, I would imagine that it's going to be a lot quicker than normal, and whatever is normal, as determined by the physician, because what they've seen in their office, it should take about half as long, and so maybe 2-3 weeks might settle the problem.
Well, that's what I thought. Well, all right, I've just been trying to get a hold of you, and all right, I'll hang up and you can finish talking if you want.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Have to realize that we're not doctors and we can't help people with personal problems. However, the herbs work. The only other thing I would maybe add to the regime would be the vital herbs in large quantities.
That's probably true.
Just to make sure that we got all those nutrients necessary so the body has it to draw from and can repair itself. Because the herbs don't repair. Drugs certainly don't repair. What repairs is the body. And if the body has the right environment, if it's cleansed properly and has the proper nutrients, it will repair itself and it works beautiful. We've been given a wonderful machine here that corrects itself. You know, you watch Star Trek, you know, Next Generation, and you think, well, this is all great. Data can fix anything. You know, he has a problem with an arm getting taken off or something, he'll just repair it or put it back on or make a new one or whatever, you know. Hey. Our bodies do the same thing. It's just that we won't allow it to happen.
Well, and it's like the doctor there when they hold up a little zapping machine if you have a cut or something, and all of a sudden it's healed. It goes real quickly.
You know, I read a book just recently called Mutant Message Down Under. And one of the episodes in that, one of the Aborigines fell off a cliff. And they looked down, and the bone was protruding right out. You know,
out of
compound
his leg.
Fracture. Mm-hmm. Bone was pushing right out of his leg, and so they got him, and they all got around him. They got him up to where he needed to be, and they all got around him, you know, and they all kind of did their little, you know,
ceremony
thing, everything around him. And they had this little substance that they carried around with them that they just collected on the desert, and, you know, herbs and whatever they just put in there. And anyway, they took some of that out and put it over the...
The wound?
The wound, yeah. Kind of adjusted things so that it wasn't sticking out anymore and put that over the wound. It was just almost instantaneously. He was up kind of hobbling around the campsite. Next day, they went back on their walkabout, and he was walking just fine.
Hmm.
And so, you know, it isn't so far-fetched. I think basically what happens is that we get in the mode that we can't do it. Our minds get set that we can't do it, you know. Modern medicine tells us that this isn't possible, and so we figure it isn't possible. But if our bodies are in the proper environment, if the nutrients are there, and if it's cleansed and there isn't waste to deal with, the body can repair itself and can repair itself quite quickly. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I've been fascinated by your talking about apple cider vinegar. Now, the apple cider vinegar that we get in the stores is not the good stuff, huh?
It isn't, no.
Oh, okay. Now,
it's better than nothing, though.
That's true.
But you kind of want the stuff that looks impure. You know, it's got stuff floating in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the culture, and that's what we were after in the first place.
Okay. I have two questions. One, about arthritis. Does apple cider vinegar have any healing effects on arthritis / bursitis?
It seems to have a lot of effect, and on different types of arthritis. The gout type of arthritis,
mm-hmm.
it somehow, even though the problem with gout is an over-acidity because of an inability to break down protein properly, and even though apple cider vinegar is acidic, it tends to correct that situation. Maybe because it throws it over the top or whatever, and the body readjusts because of the more acidity, I don't know. But it seems to work in gout situations. Also, in other forms of arthritis, it tends to reduce inflammation and takes the pain away. Apple cider vinegar has always been used. Also, a lot of the problems with arthritis tends to be calcification in the joints. That calcium actually deposits in the joints and makes it so you can't move them. Apple cider vinegar tends to go in there, maybe because of the malic acid, I don't know, tends to go in there and dissolve that calcification and make it so the joints are more flexible.
And in the book it says apple cider vinegar with the honey, and then also the molasses routine works very effectively.
Hmm. That's fascinating. lately I've become more and more concerned as my skin dries out more about all of the ingredients in whatever hand lotion I was putting on my skin. I thought, there's got to be a better way. What can we put, what can we use for dry skin, whether it be for the face or the hands or legs or feet or whatever?
I think if the body's properly balanced, as we've been talking about, and the apple cider vinegar can be used, and the blackstrap molasses and honey and the vital herb formula and all these things, if the nutrients come up and we get the proper amount of fats in our system, olive oil, wheat germ oil, flaxseed oil, that the skin will take care of itself. We won't need to put lotions and things on, that the body will take care of itself.
But that's true. But David, sometimes while you're getting to that point, you need something on your skin to help with the dryness. And so I find the BFNC or the Beauty Facial Cream?
Yes.
That the herb shop has seems to work very well. So you might want to look into that direction. It's made solely with herbs, pure herbs. What else is in there? Beeswax and all kinds of nice things. And then they added a fragrance to make it smell good.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
I enjoy your show very much.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
And people have been using that beauty facial cream, and with a lot of good results, they seem to like it, so that's something to think about.
Yeah, and that's got aloe vera in it, and all the other good things that BFNC has in it.
That's right.
Comfrey and all those. And it works very nice, very soothing for the skin.
You know, and while you're putting your body in the condition that it can handle its own dryness, then you sometimes you need that extra relief.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines.
Another one.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Dave?
Hello. Yeah, it's you.
Dave.
Hi.
I wanted to know the title of that book. Please repeat that.
It's just called Cider Vinegar by Cyril Scott.
Okay. And another question. I contracted a lot of congestion because of my overeating at Christmas time. I wanted to get your comment on this baked onions that you put on the chest to dry that out.
Onions?
Yes, baked onions.
Uh-huh.
How do we do it, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. We've been using that a lot. I've had several people in our ward call and want to know what to do for that, and all we do is we chop up the onions, put them in the oven about 350 degrees, just until the onions get slimy. It should happen within half an hour, maybe even less than that. You need to watch them. Just when they get slimy, take them out and cool them off enough so that they don't burn the skin. Put some olive oil on the chest, and then put your onions on and secure them on somehow. Maybe an old cotton diaper or something, and maybe putting an ACE bandage around it to help secure it into place would be helpful.
Okay. And then your spring cleaning. It's getting to be about that time. Those compounds that, I can't remember the name of them right now, but you had four that seemed to be pretty good. Could you review that just a little bit?
Oh, four cleansing formulas?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll do that.
I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, and he said spring cleaning. I was thinking of washing down my windows and doing my drapes.
And using apple cider vinegar on the windows.
That's right, and on the floors. Spring cleaning. Go ahead.
Well, basically it's the same as any type of cleansing, and the easiest would be just be to take the Dr. Christopher's LB formula.
That's right.
And his LG formula for the liver. So LB for the bowel, LG for the liver. His Junipars for the urinary tract. And as a general cleanser, red clover combination.
That's right. And this whole process, this whole routine is outlined in the little booklet, 3-Day Cleanse Program, Mucusless Diet, which sells for only $2. But if you're a first-time customer, they give you the book free. And I think it's on page 14 or something. It says Extended Herbal Cleanse. If you go looking in that book and read through those, oh, I think it's like three paragraphs, that gives you a time frame throughout the day of when you can use these different products, and it just helps put you in a set structure here so that you can get it all in throughout the day, and it's quite effective.
Well, and the nice thing about herbs is that you don't have to be dependent on going to like the herb shop to get your herbs. You can get them for absolutely free, and a real good spring tonic, if you want one absolutely free, are the dandelions as they come up. Talk about a cleanser. Dandelions are really good at cleansing.
Are you still talking about dandelions?
Well, dandelions and a lot of other different herbs, you know. And so we can go get the herbs for free out in the, desert or mountains or fields or whatever.
Okay.
Just make sure they haven't been sprayed.
Okay, then it's your responsibility this year to harvest all the dandelions in our yard and keep our yard free of dandelions with your use of dandelions. Okay?
Good, and it's your job to get the kids to eat them.
No, wait a minute. If you harvest them, then you have to serve them.
Right. Okay. You know, another thing, a real good cleanser, and this is contrary to what was reported in the Salt Lake Tribune, or was it the Desert News, this last week, and that would be to go out in the desert and gather your own chaparral.
Oh, talking about chaparral.
You know, it's interesting. There was an article in the Salt Lake paper, and I can't remember if there's a Desert News or Tribune, and I got a copy of it here, but I don't have which paper it was, but it was one of those two. Might have been even both. But it says, chaparral poses risks, FDA warns. And it begins by saying, chaparral, an herbal remedy recalled in 1992 because of its dangers to health, still is used by some Utahns who get it from leaves of a desert shrub. Well, I hate to disagree with them there. It isn't only used by some Utahns, it's still used nationally. Now, the recall that was made by the Herb Trade Association, okay, was a voluntary recall, and a lot of people still sold chaparral.
Yeah, they rebelled against the recall.
And so a lot of people have been selling chaparral for a long time, so chaparral is still in wide usage. And so contrary to this article, it isn't just a few crazy Utahns that are out gathering chaparral and using it. Many people in America are still using chaparral. They go on to say that JAMA reported, that's the Journal of American Medical Association, reported evidence that chaparral is responsible for liver failure in a 60-year-old woman.
What they don't fail to say is...
Yeah, what they don't say is how. How was that responsible? You know, they say that it was due to toxicity, that it was a toxic hepatitis. Now, one thing that they fail to do when they make these associations is find out what toxins are responsible for the hepatitis and what exactly it is that's clogging up the liver. They've already determined, a medical panel and researchers already determined that chaparral does not have toxicity in it that would cause liver failure. So... Since this is recent research too. Since the research out there seems to be conflicting, or is it? You know, what is the problem with chaparral? Well, no one can seem to link chaparral to liver toxicity. They can draw a casual relationship that people using chaparral tend to have liver conditions, But nobody can pinpoint what the problem is. And this article that was in the paper is unbelievable. It talks about chaparral is made from ground leaves of the creosote bush or greasewood. Some people believe it treats numerous ailments, including cancer. Scientists dismiss this claim as quackery.
Well, that's because scientists haven't used it.
Well, but the thing is all scientists haven't dismissed it as quackery. That there are studies out there showing that it does have a beneficial effect. It does have a tumor-reducing effect. I think what the problem is that some scientists, those that are more concerned with the profit of drug companies, they're the ones that are saying this, that this is quackery. And isn't that funny? They always use that word quackery when it disagrees with their position. Well, the problem is that when something that you can go pick out on the desert does the same thing but more safely than your $200,000 worth of treatments of chemotherapy, then they're going to be a little concerned about it. And chaparral does. Chaparral is superior to reducing tumors than chemotherapy. Chemotherapy has a reduction that's noted right off the bat in every case. They can reduce tumors as much as 40% with chemotherapy. But then after that initial 40%, and this always happens with everybody, they get that 40% reduction in tumor size, and then all of a sudden it goes kaboom. And then they have to do radiation and surgery and everything else. Chemotherapy has never, ever been shown to be efficacious. It's never gotten rid of anybody's cancer. It's never gotten rid of anybody's tumor. They do have that initial 40% reduction, but that's it. Whereas chaparral, plain old chaparral that you go out in the desert and gather, will reduce tumor size and used consistently, will cleanse the blood, will help you get over cancer. Okay, and it's free out there in the desert. And that's their problem. They're concerned that $200,000 treatments in the hospital is going to be replaced by people going out in the desert and picking their own. Now, as far as this liver toxicity garbage is concerned, we have to look at the action of chaparral. What does chaparral do, Fawn?
It's a liver cleanser.
It's a liver cleanser. It's a blood cleanser. But basically what it does, it cleanses the blood. And how does it cleanse the blood?
It
forces toxins out of the cell area. The toxins are staying around in the cells. It forces them into the lymph. The lymph takes it to the blood. The blood takes it to the liver. The liver then is supposed to detoxify it.
And if the liver is not functioning, then it's not going to be able to handle all of that.
Right. And so what's happening is that people are taking chaparral, trying to cleanse their blood prior to doing work on their liver. And so this panel, we're going to discuss this more at length in another.
Are we?
In another week, yeah.
Okay.
But this panel indicates that nobody seems to have a problem with chaparral unless they're already predisposed to liver problems. And so the fault in chaparral isn't in its action; it's in that it's used before liver cleansing is taken place. And so we'll want to use something like barberry or Oregon grape or yarrow or something like that and tonify and strengthen the liver prior to using a blood cleanser like chaparral, which is going to dump toxins into the liver.
And we've always said that, though, David. Even in the extended herbal cleanse program, we've always said you need to start cleansing the system and tonifying and rebuilding before you start cleansing the blood.
Yeah. But don't believe everything you see in the paper. It's very slanted. In fact, last night on the news, they interviewed this nice-looking doctor that looked like somebody's grandpa, you know.
He probably was,
and he's probably a very nice guy. But the reason they were interviewing is because a story has recently broken that researchers in Salt Lake hospitals were involved in a certain drug studies that they approved and they said were efficacious, and now many people are dying from taking those drugs. And so it came right back to the researchers again. Okay, and so this doctor was saying, oh, you know, we all thought that this was going to be beneficial. And, you know, you can't say that we're out there with a conspiracy trying to kill people. Well, of course they're not. And whoever said that, at any rate, I think they just threw that in to make themselves look a little better and discredit the other side. Basically what they're saying is these guys didn't do their homework. They approved a drug that is killing people. And now they ought to take responsibility. And they're saying, hey, we're not responsible. And then
we did it in all good
faith. We did it in good faith. But the interesting thing was that he then further justified himself saying, it's still a good drug. It doesn't matter that it kills people. It's still a good drug and used in the right situations. Baloney. You know, it's interesting. Nobody has really died from taking herbs. You know, they're trying to draw some associations or something, but no one's really died from taking herbs. A lot of people die from taking drugs, ones that have been properly researched, sort of.
And FDA approved.
People are dying from taking these drugs, but nobody's taking responsibility, and they're not getting these drugs off the market. And they're not holding the researchers responsible.
Or the companies.
Or the companies responsible to put them out. And the doctor also said, this was interesting, the doctor also said, you know, and we don't have any financial remuneration for this. I mean, we're not going to make a lot of money whether this drug's on the market or not. No, they already made their money. They were paid big bucks to do the research. They weren't paid big bucks to do research to find that their drug was bad. They were paid big bucks to find the research, you know, the research was going to find their drug good. So they already made their money. They already got their big bucks. They got their, they're called grants. People give grants to do research on their product to find that it's good, not to find that it's bad. So yeah, their remuneration's already there. No, they're not going to make it down the road. They already made it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, hate to change your subject.
Sorry, get off on a soapbox then.
What do you do for pink, well, yeah, what's for a pink eye situation?
Do you know, it's interesting, this book on apple cider vinegar, one of the things we would use is apple cider vinegar.
I was wondering about that when you were talking about
and
it.
And one of the ways we,
kind of
one of the ways we would use it is we'd actually put it in a strong solution in a double boiler. And get the heat going, and so the fumes come up, and you just put your head over it and smell those fumes.
And it, just breathe it in through and let it go up into the head.
And it kind of gets into the eyes and stuff, and so that'll work really good. But, you know, we talked on the program before, one of the best treatments for pink eye would be to just take and chop up a lot of onions and breathe the fumes and make your eyes tear. And, boy, that's one of the best things you can do right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about red raspberry?
Oh, and red raspberry eye wash, but even more than that herbal eye bright.
You have a liquid. You sell an herbal eye bright then. Already made for an eye wash.
The herb shop does have a combination of eye bright, golden seal, bayberry, raspberry, cayenne pepper, and every one of those herbs that are in that formula
have
been used for over 100 years as eye washes.
Mm-hmm. Is that a tincture or what is that?
You can get it in a tincture form. The herb shop doesn't sell it as an eye wash per se. It's called herbal eye bright combination.
Distilled water type thing and just mix it and.
What I would do and what I've done, and I'd get a distilled water, boil it on the stove, pour it into a glass eye cup, and then I go ahead and I drop 4 drops of that extract into it.
Into the little cup of eye wash.
And that dissipates off the alcohol that's in the extract, and there's just the herbs are left. And then when it's down to room temperature, I'll get in the shower and I'll just bathe my eyes with it. So that way it doesn't run over clothing and stuff, you know, it just runs into the shower.
Do you have any thoughts on colloidal silver for that kind of thing?
One of the things you have to realize is, as far as silver is concerned, the only reason that silver works is because silver kills bacteria.
Right.
Now, it's been attributed to a lot of different conditions, arthritis and a lot of other things, but what you have to realize is that any time the body is weakened, any time that there's accumulation of waste, that leaves the door open for bacteria to enter the area. And so, clearly, silver destroys bacteria. And anytime you use silver, it's going to destroy the bacteria in the area, and you're going to feel better. But it's always going to come back until you clear up that condition that caused it in the first place.
And it doesn't discriminate.
It doesn't discriminate. Silver kills bacteria, whether you put friendly flora on there or unfriendly flora.
So you're actually not just getting rid of your bad bacteria. You're getting rid of your good.
Silver destroys bacteria. And there's been no studies. I've been asking these people that make colloidal silver. For the studies, there are no studies showing that it doesn't destroy friendly flora at all.
I have another quick question. I think your time's probably running out. And I don't know that I'm saying it correctly. It's just how I know how to say it. What do you know about the kombucha teas?
Well, it's another one of those fermented products. And I think that probably everything they're saying about it is probably working. However, there's a couple of things I don't like about the formula. I don't like the use of black tea.
I don't either. And see, I have
So I would go ahead and use camellia. which is what they make black tea from. Green tea would, I'm sure, work just fine in the formula.
So, yes, you can use the green tea, but is that better for you than the black?
Oh, definitely.
Is it really?
The problem is when they make black tea, it hydrolyzes the tannins and become very dangerous.
Well, supposedly, according to the little article that I've read, and you know, I just haven't had enough research, enough information. It just scares me. Does it really turn all this bad stuff into good stuff? You know, you use white sugar.
I don't think so.
You don't think so either, huh?
And if it does or doesn't, maybe we just ought to use some better stuff to start with. And why not use some sucanut instead of white sugar?
Some what?
Sucanut.
I never heard of that.
That's basically dehydrated sugar cane juice.
Oh.
So you've got all the minerals and things that are going to be beneficial in the thing, too, and you'll still get the action of the yeast growing on that.
It's really a fascinating process to watch those little critters grow on top. It's
yeah, it is.
And they, as long as you let the air in, they never spoil. I left a lid on one time, and all sorts of black stuff got in it, you know, in a room temperature type situation. But you leave just a paper towel over the top of it so it can breathe, and you can grow what we call them a mushroom, you know, the thickest, fattest mushrooms. They're the funniest textured thing. They're supposed to be good for your garden.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to process this stuff, and I just can't believe that I'm turning.
So why don't you do us a favor, and why don't you use some sucanut and some green tea and see if it doesn't work just as well?
Oh, I'm sure it will. It'll just be the difference in the cost to make it.
And could you report back to us and let us know?
I'd be happy to.
Hey, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye now. See?
That's what, you know, our callers are so good to give us back feedback that we're looking for.
That's right. Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Can you make your own apple cider vinegar?
Can you make your own apple cider vinegar? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. But I don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to do it either. And I've been looking for, I went through several different books trying to figure that out, and I haven't run across it yet.
If you find a recipe, could you give us a call back?
You bet.
Okay. Anything else?
No. That's
thanks for your call. And we'll look, too. We'll continue looking.
Yeah,
and if we find a good recipe, we'll let people know. So, maybe we better take another call. And good morning. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much for the program on apple cider vinegar. It's fantastic. I requested it, but I missed the first part, and I have not once heard you repeat what book you're talking about.
Okay. It is the Cider Vinegar by Cyril Scott.
Do you have it at your store?
They do.
And is there a book?
At least I saw it at the Springville store. I'm not sure about the Orem store.
Apple Cider Vinegar by Cyril
Scott.
Scott, okay. I don't have a pencil right here. And what about, is there a book on molasses, the program that you talked about previously?
As a matter of fact, there is, and it's just called Crude Black Molasses is the name of it, and it's also by Cyril Scott.
Ah, and you have that at your store?
They might.
If they don't, they
can order it.
Yes.
It seems to me I saw it, but you never know if it's been purchased or not.
Is there anything that you read about apple cider vinegar in relationship to cholesterol?
No. In the whole book, it didn't mention anything about cholesterol.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's another thing that I think is really humorous that goes along with this program, and that is all of this hype about low-fat everything. That is the glass imitation of the diamond. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. You know, the thing is we've been eating so much fat for so long, then Americans, as they usually do, you know, flip-flop the other way. And so now it's like, no fat, no fat, no fat. And
Is all of these products that they try to sell, and they are selling, making mucho money on them, that has so much junk in it that is worse, probably, or equally as bad as the fat, all this, when I look at the list of things, like if it's sour cream or if it's anything, ice cream, anything that doesn't have the fat in it, it's got a whole list of artificial stuff and other things that I think are just as harmful, but the public is being...
Those aren't so great either. In fact, margarine tends to be worse than animal fat because of the way it's been hydrogenated.
And then they think if they eat this low-fat stuff, they can eat so much, and so... They still aren't, you know, having the weight losses that they want. They just can't get back to the natural, real ways the Lord intended it.
That's right, and I get a real kick out of some of these people. You know, they'll eat, they'll have skim milk, and they'll have low-fat sour cream, and all these things, which still have a lot of fat in them. And they'll do this, and then, but they won't eat an avocado.
Because of the fat.
Because
content.
Of the fat in the avocado, and that's so ridiculous. The problem is
nuts.
The problem is with the animal fat. Cholesterol is in animal products. Plants don't make cholesterol. And so there is no such thing as avocado cholesterol. There's no such thing as almond cholesterol. And so it's just where we get our fats that's important. And so if we're getting our fat from flaxseed or evening primrose oil or wheat germ oil or olive oil or something like that, that's fine. If we're getting it from hydrogenated margarine or we're getting it from animal products, then we got a problem.
This still needs to be in moderation, though, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we don't want to have a full diet of nothing but olive oil or nothing but, wheat germ oil or nothing, but that's part of our diet.
Mm-hmm.
But moderation, yeah, definitely. And as far as the dairy products are concerned, we don't need to moderate dairy products. It's an unnatural food.
Right.
I really do believe that dairy was never meant to be taken out of its container unless you're sucking on it.
I don't know very many people that suck on cows, David.
Well, they might get crushed as this cow sat down.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Fun, fun, fun.
And if you're enjoying listening to David on his soapboxes, you may want to come to some of the local classes, because David really gets into his subjects during those local classes.
And those classes just barely started, so you could catch them and not miss.
Hardly anything. The next class is Tuesday at Springville, 25 West, 200 South. Is that it? Right over Central Bank.
That's right.
You go in the side door of Central Bank and go upstairs, up the stairs, and the first door on your left is the boardroom, and there is our class. And we start at 6:30. We'd love to see you there.
And what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about natural health care for women, hormone therapy, and herbal bolus preparation. Dean always does such a good job on his preparations, and he usually has samples made up so that he can show people, and you can get some hands-on experience with it. And David goes into whys and wherefores of these natural therapies and why it's better to use this than something else.
I just did a workshop in Pittsburgh on women.
I had a good time.
It was so fun.
Lots of fun, you know. We have this wonderful personality that just make us all kinds of fun.
But it'll be a lot of fun. And so women, health care, and it's you can come for just the one time if you want, or you can do the whole series. It doesn't really matter. And we do teach these every Tuesday in Springville and every Wednesday in Salt Lake. And in Salt Lake, we meet at Vintage Square in Sugar House area.
That's right. So please, call the school, let them know you're coming, or just come. Well, either way, we'd
and
love
for
to
further
see.
Information, you can call the school. Locally, that number is
489-4254.
And in Salt Lake, it's a toll-free number, and it would be 1-800-HERB-TALK, and that's spelled ERB-TALK, 1-800-HERB-TALK. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hi. I needed to see if you could help me solve a problem. I have a granddaughter who's 4 now. But when she was 1 year old, the neighbor girl used to come over and pull her across the carpet on her back, and it rubbed the hair off, and she has a little bald spot still to this day. And I was wondering if there's anything that can be done to help restore that hair.
Well, I'm not a doctor and can't help with personal situations. However, if this case were to exist, isn't this silly we have to do this?
I know.
But if a case like this were to exist where someone had the hair rubbed off and wasn't growing back, one of the things we want to do is stimulate the area. And so a hot herb like cayenne rubbed into the area would bring circulation in.
Would it be easier on a small child to use something like ginger? Wouldn't be quite so hot for the child.
Well, the rubefacin effect of ginger might not quite be there. Mustard might be okay.
Could they dilute the cayenne just a little bit it's not quite so hot?
Cayenne isn't really too bad on the scalp. You don't really feel it that much. And so
would you mix it with something, like water or oil or something?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that Professor Cayenne Deep Heating Balm they have, which has got cayenne and such in it,
uh-huh.
That and BF&C would be good mixed together and just rubbed into the area.
Okay, what was the B what?
BF&C.
BF&C?
Mm-hmm.
And then the cayenne.
Yeah, and then maybe some ginkgo tea internally to increase circulation in the head from the inside.
Would you spell that for me?
G-I-N-K-O.
G-I-N-K-O.
C-I-N-K-O-T.
Yeah, okay. it's a vasodilator for the head. And so to
what
to
about oat straw tea or...
Oh, yeah, that and apple cider vinegar. We've been talking about apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar with the oat straw tea would be excellent.
Okay.
Not only to take internally, but also as a...
Topically
to be applied.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we got time for one more call? No, we don't. Looks like our time is almost up, so we better mention our sponsor before that music comes on.
The Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville.
And I'll tell you what they have that's so wonderful is that Vital Herbs. So great. They work so good. And we also ought to mention Champion Juicers, always at $199. And if you want to get a lot of nutrients, boy, that's the way to do it. Let's see, what else?
Wheatgrass Formula 7.
Wheatgrass Formula 7. We didn't even mention that, did we?
No, we'll have
Spencer
to get into
Spencer Masterson.
That
we'll talk about that next week. But next week, I think what we're going to do is talk about chaparral.
Good one.
Until then, be happy. Have a healthier you.